and to see what the Lord would want to teach us in growing to be a sending church. And as Nathan pointed out, the Father sent the Son. God is a sender, isn't he? The Father sent the Son into the world to save the world, not to condemn the world. And the Father and the Lord Jesus sent his Holy Spirit into the world. And then God also, Jesus said, as the Father have sent me, so send I you. And in Jesus sent his followers. He said, I send you out as sheep among wolves. And a lot of times he talked about sending them. And Paul said, how shall they preach except they be sent? So it's clear in Scripture that God sends. He sent his Son. He sent the Holy Spirit. And today he uses plain people like you and me to bring the gospel to those around us, to each other, to do his work here on earth. For just a more practical biblical basis, let's look at Acts 13. And there we see an example of the church sending. But let's notice the emphasis there. Acts 13, the first four verses. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was also called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And notice here under what conditions they sent. As they ministered to the Lord, as they served the Lord, as they were serving in his presence and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. And notice what verse 4 says, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, and so forth. So we believe that it's very important for the church to send. And along with that, what is important as we look at this scripture? Who was sending? The Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was sending. He was sending through the church. And so what does that indicate? What responsibility does that give us as a church? That's right. It means that we as a church should be listening to the Holy Spirit. Now I want to be careful how I say the next. And what part of the church? Let me reword that. To what body within the church did the Spirit speak here? Certain prophets and teachers. You know, you kind of think it. And this doesn't have to be the leadership, but it kind of indicates those who had the gifts of teaching, had the gifts of prophecy, who were somewhat in leadership. And so it's for all of us, but I think it's especially the responsibility that our leaders would feel. And now, if we go to Acts 15, verse 32... Now, wait a minute, that's not right. 22. Now here is that was the Jerusalem conference, and then it said, then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church. I like that too. So here was the leadership in connection with the church's blessing, sending Paul and Barnabas and several others. So the emphasis there, the church, the leaders leading the way, sensitive to the Holy Spirit and sending them. Now, what do you think of this? Acts 21, verse 13. Let's see here. There was, you know, in verse 10, when this prophet said, this Agabus said, he took a hold of Paul's belt and he bound his own hands and feet and said, this is what the Holy Spirit says, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now, when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, we're not going to try to judge who was right here, right? But this time, Paul went on without the blessing of his brothers. Is that right? He was so convinced. Well, but later he said, I think when he was addressing the Ephesian elders, he says, in every city, the Holy Spirit is saying that bonds and afflictions wait on me. But he said, that doesn't move me. So somehow, the Holy Spirit was telling people that there's trouble ahead in Jerusalem, but Paul was convinced in his spirit that God wanted him to go there. Those are mysteries of godliness, isn't it? Does anyone have any thoughts there? Merle. Okay, I appreciate that. You're right. It says the Holy Spirit says that he will be bound, but he doesn't say that the Holy Spirit said he shouldn't go. That's a very good thought. Any other thoughts on that? That's right. Yes. And I think, isn't that the tension that we have today? Most of us, I know I would be one of those who would not feel comfortable in going without the church's backing. But I think we've had some, what do you call, real prophets, real apostles, so to speak, who had a burden on their hearts and nothing could move them. They were convinced that God was leading them and this is where they were going. For example, in history, William Carey. You know, I got some of the thoughts from Serving as Senders. It's a very good book if you have a chance to read that. It recounts this, you know, at the time he's called the father of modern missions. But in the beginning, when he had that burden, you know, there was a lot of the church people were saying, hey, if God wants to save the heathen, he'll save the heathen without your help and ours. Reformed theology. But William Carey was convinced, and we would kind of say, hey, this is not right. You know, his wife wasn't going to go along at first. I think finally did, but a lot of problems. But somehow, God had laid a burden on his heart, and he went, said, what God wants me to do. And I think, and sometimes we see people like that and it doesn't work out well. Other times it does. I don't know if we have any, I think it just means we all need to be humble and listening to the Spirit of God be careful. Anyone have any thoughts on that? Yes, and the other thing with Paul, of course, those first apostles had a very special place. They founded the church, and the Bible says it's the foundation of the church. And I believe God gave them special unction, special anointing. So I think from what we see here, I just like, you know, I think it's just in conclusion that for a church to be a sending church, that church needs to be a praying church, right? It needs to be a fasting church. It needs to be a seeking the kingdom of God first church. It needs to be a church that has a love for the Lord and a love for each other and a love for the glory of God and a love for others. And I think we probably see the church at its best, at its beginning. And, you know, when they were all together and the word of God spread and more than anything else, they wanted to serve God. They were rejoicing in the Lord, and persecution did not deter them. And I think it doesn't hurt if we as a church keep praying for God's. I think we need another visitation from heaven to give us a renewed love for the Lord and a renewed burden for the lost, and that we are open to that, and that we keep seeking God in that. And as we look at the histories of the Anabaptists in its beginning, I didn't get to look it up then, but there was a martyr synod when they were sent out as missionaries, and I think all but several were killed and were martyred. There was a passion. I think most of us have heard of the Moravian Brethren and how passion for the lost, and what drove those people was a love for the Lord Jesus. And that was their focus. And that was their emphasis. The emphasis was, you have done so much for me. What can I do for you? And we have, I think we've heard of their 100-year perpetual prayer meeting. And we can't force those things. But united prayer, rewarded with the gift of the Spirit, will bring eternal fruit. So if we want to be a sending church, it's important that we have firm convictions on certain things. I think we still all believe, well, let's say it this way, missions is relatively new for us, right? You know, it's 70 years or so, 60. In our background, that was not the emphasis. So we're still learning and we're still growing. But we still believe, do we not, in the imperativeness of proclaiming the good news. We believe that the Great Commission is for us today. And we believe that we want the glory of God to spread. And if we want the glory of God to spread, then we have a heart to share that good news. like some of you heard Brother Laban Kaufman at the ministers' meeting about on the topic of balancing perseverance versus evangelization. He said there is no competition, and I agree, is no competition. Doesn't need balancing. We need to preserve what needs to be preserved, and we need to carry out what needs to be carried out. Where it means, whether it is in our daily life or in a special sending out. So I think the ideal, now I'm talking ideal. No, we have not arrived. But as I visualize the ideal, and here's where we're getting a little more into the nitty-gritty of the senders. It doesn't matter where we are senders or goers. We all need the same vision. Is that right? We're united in our vision. We can't all go, but we can all have the same vision. We can all believe that the gospel is for the world, for everybody. We all can ask the Lord for a burden for the lost souls across the seas, but next door and among us. And I think it's important that we sometimes re-ask ourselves the questions, do we really believe that the Lord Jesus is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, that no man comes to the Father except through him? Is that truth? We believe that, right? That there is salvation in no other name. Do we believe that there are only two destinations? Everlasting fire, everlasting joy. Do we believe that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world before the end will come? Jesus said that after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses. So we know that one of the works of the Holy Spirit is to be a witness to all the world. Now, I think one of the burdens of the topic this evening is then on a more practical basis, but I really wanted to lay the spiritual foundation too. If we can just pause for a moment and think of how missions have changed since it's there, like how, I'll start over. For us as conservative Anabaptists, let's say it this way, or center, the first ones here to go to missions. Well, how can you say that? CPS. That would be kind of a mission, but you were forced to go, right? So, I don't know, coerced missions. but that was what awakened people, right, to the needs. And so you had post-World War II relief work, right? Going to Europe to help rebuild after World War II. And then after that, slowly the beginning of MIC, the beginning of Amish Mennonite Aid, and before that was MCC. Now, what all those mission organizations were what? I mean, okay, what was the difference then and today? So all the mission organizations I named, there might have been a few others, but MCC, MIC, and then AMA, and conservative Mennonite missions, they were all bound to a denomination, right? To a church group. So then you, when you went to serve under one of those, then your transportation was paid, the mission paid your room and board, and I remember I got $10 a month in Berlin, which went quite a bit further than it does today. And so that was the picture back there. So what is, now today, we have a lot of missions that are not necessarily tied to a church or a church group, right? So you have organizations. You can help me. IGO is not tied to a church group, is it? GTO is not necessarily tied to a church group. Faith Builders, that's a school, but a ministry is not necessarily tied to a church group, right? CAM is not tied. So that changes the picture. And I think as missions evolve and change, then we also need to change our thinking. We have to change our thinking with that. And along with that, there's a lot of increased training that we're receiving. We have regular reports from those who are on the mission field. We have a good number of people among us who are out serving. That influences us. We're getting ready for a Muslim impact training here in this area that will motivate us and stir our hearts. A number of us have taken training in perspectives. A number of us have been in IGO. A number of us have been at Faith Builders. You name it. There's just a lot of influence that is influencing us and making us aware of the needs out there and giving us a vision. But we're no longer in the time, now there's a few exceptions, but no longer are we in that time when if an agency comes or an organization comes knocking, or if you choose to serve under an agency and you can just go and they take care of you. That's by and large not the case anymore. And so that puts a different responsibility, well, I shouldn't say, in reality it really shouldn't, I don't think. But it kind of pushes us to assume a different responsibility. Now, we're all agreed that it's important that the church needs to send. Are we all together on that in general? Unless someone has a special anointing. So as we face this, that's the burden of the rest of the evening. How can we send in a way that is pleasing to the Lord? How can we listen to the Lord and help those who feel the call? How can we help them prepare? And how can we send them? And how can we help them affirm that they are called? I'm going to read here what this author says. And, as I read some of this, I realized that some of the things he says we already have in place that may not be in the general Christendom. But he says, today, and now he's talking especially about cross-cultural missions. Today, no cross-cultural worker should leave home without a strong, integrated, educated, knowledgeable, excited as he is, active team of people who have committed themselves to the work of serving as senders. Well, when you read that, you say, well, boy, how are we all going to do this? And we have to adapt that. But he made the point that one speaker said that when a country's at war, every soldier on the front has there's a ratio of 9 people in the background as a line of communication that are supporting him. And those are very important. And we realize we have a lot of different kinds of service and missions. We have long-term, we have vocational. For instance, like Matt and Andrea and Joe and Marilyn and Lanita and Ellis and Joel and Hilda and the Central American ones, you know, and Frida. Those are in for the long haul. Then you have the short-term ones. You have married versus single. You have abroad versus in the States. And it definitely is a difference how we send different ones, I believe. But just like to consider as we consider someone's journey from sensing a call and the steps towards leaving and going somewhere and seeing what we can gather from that and help learn from each other in that. So let's say here's a person who feels he senses a call, or a couple feeling a call in their heart. And so first it's in the prayer closet, wrestling through with it alone. Then they dare share it with someone else, a close friend or a leader they have confidence in, and they struggle through it. And finally, they realize it needs to be more official. What are some key things that we can that we need to be aware of at this point? Do we always need to say yes to a person? Are we always sure that what we feel in our hearts is God really saying it? Do we just assume that if a person senses a call, it's that way, and we just come up behind him and say, okay, here we are? Or do you have responsibility to speak other things into his life? Any comments? I would like to give him an example of our family. We were finished at Sunny Haven, had a young family, and I don't know why or how, but we just felt called to Haiti. It felt so real. And so we talked to the leadership, and they said, no, we don't think you are. But they did it in a very nice way. It was not in a dictator way, but they just didn't feel it was the right thing to do. But through that, the Lord worked through that. We had thought of going down to work in a children's home. And we had contacted those responsible there, and the Lord started moving in the work there through that. So it was not in vain. And then we look back, if we would have gone ahead, we would have had to deal with Nathan's surgery down in Haiti. So we see that that was right. What we heard, what the leadership said was right. But then when the call came from Europe, open doors, knowing the blessing of the leadership team. That was our experience. Now, what can we come up with some foundational responses? Hello? Yeah, I think it was your recommendation that Nathan got it.
If I'm remembering right, that is David and I had this visit in Tulsa some years ago before we were considering going to Central America. If I'm remembering right, he used the word picture of finding God's will as going to a door. If the door opens, you walk to the next door. If that door opens, you walk to that one. And you proceed that way until the door stays shut.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
I think that's where it came.
I appreciate it, yeah. So not force the door to stay open. Any other thoughts on that?
Isn't it true that the mission boards and other responsibilities will make contacts with individuals?
That's right. Yeah, right. And I think one thing I'd like to emphasize, and I have certainly sensed that here, and just as an affirmation of that, is that when someone sends a call, that person feels affirmed. Whether it ends up that the door is opening or not, but that if, you know, I think nothing, there are few things more discouraging than if you sense, hey, this is a burden for us to consider this, you know, just don't have time. You know, we got our hands full, and don't quite know how to respond. That can be very discouraging. So it's important that we say, hey, you know, I really am encouraged by what you're sensing and the burden you have, and we want to know more about it. We want to listen more about it. We want to pray with you and seek God's face with you and really see, is this what God wants or not? That makes sense, David? That's right. I appreciate that. And that's what I felt from our leadership team then. You know, we didn't feel rejected. We didn't feel snuffed out. We felt, yeah, even though they said what they did, we still felt supported by them and carried by them.
I was noticing something on the passage there referred to where Paul and Barnabas were sent out. That the call to go to the Gentiles, God had given that call to him way back right after his conversion. And it seems they apparently knew about that call. But you see we see that context, there were people gathered together praying. And then it gave a forum which God could then direct when and how to go out. I wonder if that's something we could implement to a little bit more than we do possibly. If someone feels a call, rather than waiting until there's maybe a specific that, yes, here's where someone's asked me to go, if someone feels a call, that they could, there'd be people they know they can go to and say, will you pray with me to know what this means, and to, so we can hear when there is something specific.
Yeah, appreciate that. And I think maybe Daryl and Karen would be an example of that, you know. Yeah. Now, I would like to have a little bit of a discussion from you as to what we mean by the church sending. Now, you know, for a long time, you know, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of the church sending?
Money.
Thanks, David, for being money. And is it true that if there's no money involved, it's a lot easier to send somebody? Or is that, you know, it doesn't make it as complicated in any case. But if the one thing I would really want to emphasize this evening, that when we think of sending, the money is just is not the main thing. And if we can get that into our heart, the main thing is God calling this individual, and if God is calling this individual, we as a church want to send that, not just say, see ya, blessings, have a good trip, but we are with you, we're behind you. And now, how do we do that? But here's something for you to consider, and I don't know, these are just thoughts, but I wonder already if I'm going to, take someone who is, let's say Tanya, okay, so she's going to Thailand. If she would have been asked maybe, okay, Tanya, we want you to give a testimony in church and say why you feel you are led to go to Thailand. And the church, this was a little pushed and rushed, but still there would have been a little time. So, okay, is there anyone who feels, wouldn't need ask for a vote, but just say, okay, in the next week, if someone feels a check in their spirit or any questions, let us know. Or we will assume that the church is behind her and is willing to send her. Like Joe and Marilyn, and we all, I think we all felt comfortable, but if there would be I've just wondered if there would be an official testimony and an official question to their congregation. Now, think about it. Are we willing to send this family? And I don't know. You don't have to respond to it now if you don't want to, but I'm open for a response now. I probably not seeing something, but I've wondered if that, so that in some way that the church feels that, yes, we are committed to sending. And we have to think about this, what we're doing here. Arlen? It is. It is. It is. Yes, and that's what I was getting at, yeah. For example, this author, he talks about six areas of support. And we're, I was going to get it. I figured I would run out of time, but just to give you an overview to jog your minds, the moral support, that's a very important part. That's being there for them through thick and thin. And these are the points after a person has been said, yes, we're going. The church says, yes, we're sending. And then the importance of having those supports in place. And when hard times come, they know there's others there that will say, we believe in what you're doing. We believe that you heard right. And we are here to stand behind you in whatever we can. Logistics support, all the practical things that go with it. The financial support, the prayer support, the communication support. And I wasn't used to thinking that, but sometimes when you think of praying for all the missionaries and the communication with all the missionaries, And then you say, well, you know, if each missionary would have a group, and there would be one saying, you know, I'll make sure that you will be hearing regularly from someone in the church. Another one will say, I'll make sure that there's going to be a group of people who are really going to be interceding for you. And it could take, you know, different forms. And then the moral support, the logistics, just, you know, he listed a whole bunch of things like taxes. Okay, do you know that if you go overseas, you still better watch out about your responsibility to the American government? All those things. What about in case of death? Someone to help think through those practical things that can happen. The reentry support, and that's going to happen. We're going to talk about that. It's going to be talked about next Wednesday evening, Lord willing. And that, I think, is a very important issue. So I think that's what you're saying, Arlen, right? And so when we say we support someone, that means we send someone, that means this is what we're committing ourselves to. And we realize for someone like a year, it's different than someone who's going long term. And you notice I'm not saying how or how, what, but the purpose this evening, I think, is simply to jog our minds and see how can we grow in that area. Any other thoughts on that? And I think what is so important in the as we walk with, you know, looking from my own experience now, as we walk with those who feel sent, who are being sent, is that there's clarity, that we affirm them, but we're not afraid to tell them, to share with concerns with them, rather than instead of saying, well, you know, we don't want to hurt the person, but we also don't give them a full-hearted support. And it's kind of this vague, what's going on feeling. Clarity, and counseling, walking along besides. For instance, I know of one church, someone felt called to go to a city. Well, the church said, okay, we bless you going. We bless your going, but we're not sending you. You're going on your own. But we're not standing in your way. We won't be financially supporting you, but we bless your efforts. So those are different levels of support as well. And I like the summary of the moral support piece here. He says, it's like saying, we love you and we're here to help you in any way we can. We believe in the vision the Lord has given you to go to such and such a place. But in our eagerness to help you on your way, don't forget that we will miss you. But it's that feeling of being one. And I think it is here in this congregation. And I also think that it's a blessing that there's so many that have gone from here, and I've wondered if we could help ourselves by giving it a little more structure and organization to help to make sure that our missionaries don't fall between the cracks. Now I'd like to hear from some of you that are out there. How do you, here we've been talking about how we should send you. Now,
we haven't talked about Paul helping the tent.
That's a very good point, yeah. And that's happening more and more too, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's definitely right. And I think if that is possible, that's very good, yeah. That's right. But it does not have to affect the connection with the church, right? Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Yeah. And that was really encouragement for us to see your response in that. And that was also Igo was saying at least part of the support should come from the church. That's what their desire was, so that there is that kind of commitment as well. So you sisters over there are, oh, Janice.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's what I was. I think it's very helpful. Taking an active interest in the person's decision and qualifications. And another thing along with that would be I think we should feel responsible to make sure, okay, do we support the mission, the work? That's the one question. Do we support the work, the mission, the place? And the other one, do we feel the person is fitted for that? The character qualities, the giftings, I think those all, and working together with people involved can help give direction. Thank you. Any other thoughts on that? Frida.
I think this church does very well on the financial end of it. But I would really welcome more of a, like you were talking about, concerted care effort.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't have to be the whole group, but a core group of people that are informed enough about individuals that are important to me.
Thank you. I think that is so vital, because intercession is so important. Well, I don't know if this is the place. Okay, like when you're at home, like now, could the missionary assemble a group around them, or are you more comfortable with having someone else do that? How could that happen? And I have a feeling there's a lot of vision here if we can somehow organize it. So I don't know, I think we had a prayer meeting several months ago, and someone in our family made these posters. I thought, well, now, every Wednesday evening, we'll pray for those in Central America, the next Wednesday evening from Asia, and then North America. Well, you know, it just doesn't happen. Lowell? Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And so,
think that's right. And isn't that why I, because that's what happens to me. You know, you look at these emails and all those things flying at you. And one thing that we've started doing that is somewhat helpful is having a certain day to pray for certain areas. But that's where I think if you'd have a group of people, okay, someone responsible for the communication and someone responsible for the prayer, you know, that I think there's enough people willing and having a vision. And I think I have a feeling, you know, they don't blow their horns, but I just believe that our senior citizens do a lot of praying in their homes that we don't know of. And if there's maybe a way we could get some of those together on a regular basis, you know, I've wanted that for Hands of Christ. It's happening now for the Muslim impact. And so you don't know, but I appreciate that because I think it just needs some structure and organization by someone who has a vision. Merle? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I understand. I think we understand each other, and I appreciate that very much. Well, it's time to quit, and so may the Lord guide us in the way He wants to in these areas, and I appreciate your input very much.